Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial. I did not have a chance to go over any of the comments this weekend. I was in Seattle. I'm actually moving to Seattle to be closer to my kids. I'll be back on the blog again starting today, talking with Jimmy, obviously, about three different items that he feels are instrumental in what's going on right now in terms of the military and political events in the world. Let's start about the military events first, Jimmy. Let's talk about the attacks on Iran.
Apparently this weekend there's reporting and video of a strike on a weapons facility, a weapons production facility in Iran. Uh-huh. And in a town in Iran, a large populated area, there were multiple rockets that hit it, and it looked like maybe a drone strike. And of course, that's a speculation.
Yeah. There was
also a fire at an oil refinery and reported attacks on at least five other locations.
Wow.
Over the weekend. So no one's taking responsibility.
Well, it's got to be. I mean, the first potential organization would have to be the country of Israel, I would think.
You would think they would.
Yeah.
They would be a responsible for the attacks. I will say that you have to consider what's happening with the number of drones the Iranians and other weapons and equipment the Iranians have been providing to the Russians for
yeah.
the Ukrainian operations.
Yeah.
So there could be some other special operations type of event going on there. There's always the possibility that another third party special operations or intelligence agency, maybe even Western,
yeah.
Would conduct the strikes in order to slow the weapons supply to the Russians and cripple the Iranian military capabilities.
What else do you give that as being the rationale behind the action, Jimmy? It sounds kind of weak to me.
Well, I mean, let's look at the Nord Stream 2 strike or Nord Stream pipeline strikes.
Yeah.
That no one's really ever identified who did that as a very sophisticated targeted operation. There is some evidence of U.S. intelligence and military capabilities in the region at the time. There's been some very actually incredibly good reporting by some individuals that track that type of activity. Iran has been providing these drone systems to Russia. Russia's been using them in Ukraine. There was a statement by a Ukrainian minister a couple of months ago saying, hey, Iran, you continue this, there may be some ramifications for it. So it's at this point, it's hard to decipher what's happening. But the Iranian government is under intense pressure domestically because of the riots that evolved and over this the death of this woman from the religious police,
right,
over not wearing her hijab.
Yeah.
So that's there's massive uprisings in many, many places. It's been a slow burn. But there's one other organization that you have to consider. So in Iraq, there are Iranian refugee Kurdish elements,
yeah,
that have been fighting the Iranian theocracy for decades.
Yeah.
They were kind of de-toothed or defanged by the U.S. military when we were operating in Iraq. However, they operate in the Kurdish territory. The Kurdish territory is somewhat autonomous. They've got a lot of weapons and equipment. There's a possibility that a group like that might take action to cause destabilization, or potentially, in this day and age, it could be a contract organization that's conducting these types of strikes through these third-party
yeah.
organizations in order to achieve other strategic goals.
What do you think, Jimmy?
I think it's probably regional players that are trying to undermine Iran at this point and getting support from both Western countries and Ukraine.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what's going on behind the scenes. It's going to be really hard to sort out. And of course, what this does is it really ups the risk out there and potentially, you know, problems between Israel and Iran.
Yeah.
The latest information is the Iranians are very close to, they have enough fissile material, enough nuclear weapons material to develop a bomb, multiple bombs they're estimating at this point. So, it just means a lot of destabilization and more confusion out there in the global catastrophe that we live in today now.
Jimmy, I want you to do me a favor. Give me your opinion on the possibility of actually Iran being a nuclear power at this point in time. I would say probably yes. What do you think?
Yeah, there's no question. They've been working on it for a long time. They're afraid of the regional players, and they want that chip that makes it impossible to undermine their authority.
Yeah.
That's exactly what the North Koreans did, and the North Koreans have been successful in defending their own position that way. Pakistanis developed nuclear weapons. I was in the intelligence community working very diligently on that problem when they lit off their first nukes in the late 90s. After everybody had said, no, it's not going to happen. The proliferation is highly probable. Their idea is to defend themselves. Of course, because it's a theocratic government that basically doesn't adhere to many other values around the world, there's a lot of fear out there. And of course, Benjamin Netanyahu has just been taken over again in the lead of the government in Israel. And he's not shy to use power in the region as well. So we'll see how this plays out. But there's a good chance that Iran has the capability and the materials to create a nuclear weapon. It just depends on how long before they test it.
Yeah.
Once they test it, the whole dynamic changes.
Yeah, it sure does. The whole dynamic in the world changes. There's no question about that. Well, we have something to look forward to. Not exactly as happy as Christmas, but certainly a big event. Jimmy, let's talk about the lawsuit that's going on right now in the state that I live in, Washington State. Explain it as thoroughly as you can, if you would.
Sure. So apparently, according to Jason Rant's reporting and Jason's Rant show in KTTH in Seattle,
yeah,
there was a lawsuit filed just after Thanksgiving of last year,
yeah,
by three organizations, Vet Voice Foundation, Washington Bus, and El Centro de la Raza. And that lawsuit is attacking the Secretary of State and the King County Elections Director and King County Canvassing Board,
yeah,
telling them that they cannot validate signatures on the ballot, that is disenfranchising minority voters.
Yeah.
So basically they're saying the only check in the Washington State election systems, which is signature verification, would be invalid. That's what the lawsuit's about.
Yeah.
Now that, to me, is just insanity.
Well, it's pretty crazy, but there are just a few pretty crazy things going on in the world right now. I mean, what's the significance of this lawsuit, Jim? In the total scheme of things, what's the point?
Well, the point is to, look, in Washington State, mail-in ballots, you can get a driver's license and register. You do not. In fact, they don't even require the true ID at this point, the federal requirement to have a valid federal ID.
Yeah.
Washington State still has yet to put that in place. So you could be anybody that comes in and gets a driver's license. That means illegal immigrants. It means felons, all types of different people that are not legally allowed to vote.
Right.
The only way that you can check a ballot in Washington State is based on signatures because they mail them out. There is no physical voting location in Washington State. They mail you ballots. I know personally from my experience living there in the last mid-interim election, local elections, my wife and I were mailed two ballots each, four ballots for the election.
Right.
So I wouldn't have signed them myself, but I could have given those ballots to anybody and they could have voted for who they wanted to. And, you know, without a signature validation or verification, you wouldn't know. So we know there are problems with the voting system. We know there's problems in tabulation. We know there's problems with validation. And I'll just remind people, when I was in Afghanistan in 2018, we canvassed the entire country, the U.S. and NATO allies, put biometric scanning data in every remote location around that nasty country,
yeah,
in order to validate their midterm parliamentary votes. And we won't even do it here in the United States. And to me, it's really unacceptable, and it's corrupt, and it's allowing corruption at the highest level. So the point of this lawsuit is to make it easier to cheat.
Well, you have to believe that probably the progressives are pretty much behind it. Who actually filed the lawsuit, Jimmy?
Well, Well, those are the three groups that I mentioned to you right at the beginning of the piece of it. It was a Vet Voice Foundation, Washington Bus, and El Centro de la Raza. And yes, of course, they're all represented by whom? The Perkins Coie Law Firm, counsel to the Democratic National Committee.
Surprise, surprise.
Shocking, huh?
Yeah, just amazing.
You know, Hillary Clinton's lawyers and, you know, Michael Sussman, the guy that had a FBI terminal in his office that had lied to the FBI but got off on it.
Yeah.
You know, it's the people that have created the entire fraudulent idea of the Russian collusion narrative.
Yeah.
And it's just, to me, it's more and more sign of the corruption that people just are either ignoring or ignorant of. And that's primarily because of the misinformation that's out there that's being perpetuated by media organizations and the DNC.
Yeah. Amazing what's going on politically in our country. One thing I would have to say is it's really amazing how the opponents, in my opinion, the progressives, are so well organized. And they really appear to be well organized in a very dishonest manner, Jim.
Yeah, so if you're doing corrupt things, if you're looking at every opportunity to cheat the system, it doesn't take a lot of people to do it.
No.
The appearance of organization, the appearance of large numbers of people are based on basically media reporting.
Yeah.
But the reality is they're just, you know, if you're going to cheat the system, it doesn't take a lot of criminals to do it.
No, it really doesn't. Not particularly in our society. In our society today, Perkins Coie seems to be the aggressor in this case. If in fact that's true, and I'm not saying that it is, how successful are they going to be, in your opinion? What's the worst thing that could happen to the conservatives if they win this lawsuit?
Well, then there's no voter ID, and then you'll never see another legitimate candidate in Washington. It'll be based on whoever the DNC takes and through their lawyers. You'll never see another conservative candidate. You don't have any hardly at all, with the exception of in the eastern part of the state at this point. And Washington keeps losing ground. And it's the same example in many blue states because they enact these rules that allow them to stay in power. And you're seeing it in places like Arizona, when in fact it's a conservative state, but somehow they've managed to manipulate the tools of elections in order to maintain power.
Yeah.
And that includes the Republicans who are protecting their own skin. And that's what's happening in Maricopa County right now with the Kerry Lake debacle and Katie Hobbs.
That's amazing, Jim. Absolutely amazing. So the progressives are actually trying very hard to make sure they get total control of the government, i.e. total control of Congress and total control of the certainly of the executive office, and they haven't lost that yet. So it's pretty interesting where this thing is going, Jim. Total control of the government, they would have to really stack the Supreme Court.
Yeah, well, okay, so what the problem becomes, the Supreme Court has no power other than how much we accept and tolerate it.
Yeah.
And the left is continually attacking them and saying they're illegitimate for the Roe v. Wade overturning decision many, many things. So basically, if the only people that have any power to execute objectives is the executive branch.
Yeah.
So as long as the White House is controlled by puppet masters, in my view, that are trying to achieve these progressive goals, it's very difficult to overcome. And of course, we've seen so many problems where the law enforcement elements of the executive branch have directly intervened in political actions.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a frightening state. And of course, with this misinformation, and you know, we're going to talk a little bit at the end here about this, you know, the whole Hamilton 68 Russia disinformation operation that really shaped the nation and was perpetuated by not only media outlets, but senior government officials and elected officials.
Yeah.
You know, you really start to have very little faith in anything out there as being true. And the unfortunate part about it is that the people that are manipulating the system keep gaining more and more power.
Yeah. I think we're going to see a really interesting change in our country, Jim, personally. You had another issue that occurred over the weekend when I was going through all the gyrations of moving. Can you tell me what that is again?
Sure, yeah. So it's this organization, this research arm that came out with information about Russian involvement in the 2016, 2018, and 2020 yeah. elections called Hamilton 68.
Right.
Was perpetuating information and used as a very serious source, saying that Russian bots and Russian involvement in the election was widespread.
Yeah.
They were not only in those elections, but also in support of conservative values. They were continually right. attacked. They were using this information from Hamilton 68. It was an electronic dashboard that showed over 300 organization groups that were involved in Russian bots. But when the Twitter executives were looking at this, and this is before Elon Musk.
Yeah.
When they were looking at it, they actually did research and they said, wait a second, these are just regular users.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, they're just conservative users for the most part.
Yeah.
There were a couple of liberal left, progressive, extreme left, progressive that were caught up in this group, but they were just kind of token. The vast majority of these groups were not Russians. They were not bots. They were fabricated basic, information saying that they were Russian bots through this group Hamilton 68.
Yeah.
But mainstream media news outlets was using this as a resource and justification over and over again to say Russian involvement. So you've created this complete fabricated lie. And Matt Taibbi, who's been reviewing all the Twitter files,
yeah.
he published a very extensive Substack article, and it's out there on Twitter as well, identifying how this group was fabricating information. The media organizations were using that fabricated information, and politicians were using that fabricated information, implying that Russians were involved in all these issues when they were not. This is while they were attacking the president of the United States for yeah. being a Russian stooge.
Yeah.
And then Twitter understood it, but they didn't do anything about it. They actually did the research, found out it was false information, yeah. that all this information from Hamilton 68 group was
yeah.
basically bogus, or at least almost all of it. But many mainstream outlets continued to use it, and really it upset the balance of this nation.
Yeah,
and it
sure
also
it
upset
sure it
the
did.
Balance. And it upset the balance of our relationship with Russia.
Yeah, of course
and
it did.
And of course, accusing the president of being a Russian, agent, and all these ridiculous arguments that have turned out to be false.
Right.
Made it much more problematic, and that made the Russians much more concerned about the expansion into their region. So, what do we have? We end up having a Ukraine war
yeah.
because of incompetence in foreign policy and these lies and accusations that are continuing to spin. And a lot of people still believe this stuff is true.
Yeah.
When in fact it's provably false with the data, with the information that even the leftist controllers in Twitter
yeah.
understood prior to Elon Musk buying the platform.
That's amazing, Jim. It is really amazing what's going on politically. I feel very grateful that I'm involved in this program, because I got to tell you, I need somebody to explain it to me. It's gotten so intricated. It's just absolutely amazing what's going on. And I know our country is going to probably go through some growing pains at this point, but I have to tell you, I really hope that it comes out to be at least an even balance between the conservatives and the liberals, Jim.
Well, I want people that believe in America to be in charge. And
yeah.
If you have that, then you're understanding that our government is not here. Our government is not here to protect itself.
Right.
Our government is here to protect the rights of the American citizens.
Right.
That has been inverted. And it's because of these people that are pushing these agendas for political power and
right.
money and finances.
Right.
And if you look in the background, it is very much connected with exactly the relationships, exactly what the Chinese Communist Party and the Marxists would like to see happening.
Yeah.
And that's incredibly damaging to our future.
I agree. Our opponents are very, very sophisticated. They've been through it before. They know how to win these things. So let's see what happens. Okay, Jimmy, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so very much.
You bet, Al.
find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.